Hello, Autism Warrior, and welcome to Barefoot Autism Warriors podcast. I'm Ninka Bernadette Mauritsen, and I am here to tell you that autism is a consciousness test, it's a wake-up call, and it's your chance to turn your life around. And when you do, everything changes. So if you've ever longed for something to do to help your child from suffering from the most stressful of the symptoms, but you're overwhelmed because you're either told there's nothing you can do, or you're told that there are 10,000 things you have to do, like exclusion diets, protocols, supplements, tests, practitioners, and none of it really works because nothing that is a one-size-fits-all solution will ever work for all children. And if you've ever felt overwhelmed because of your child's symptoms and fearful about the future, and you want to turn the most stressful symptoms around like I did for my son, who overcame stimming, sleepless nights, ritualistic behavior, aggression, meltdowns, learning difficulties, no eye contact, no physical contact. And we did this by addressing the underlying messages behind autism symptoms that nobody seems to talk about, so that you can get your life and your child and your dreams for the future back. So this podcast is a place to be for you to find all the tools and insights you need to turn autism around using the five underlying messages behind autism symptoms. The consciousness test, the wake-up call, we're addressing that. Nature deficiency and what that means. The emotional journey that can lead to an autism turnaround when you address your trauma, when you address your self-sabotage patterns, and the self-parenting patterns that you have that's now currently affecting your parenting of your autistic child. The environmental loads and issues that have contributed to the situation that you're in, and finally, bioindividuality, nutrition and supplements and lifestyle that's based on your child's biotype and bioindividual needs. You are in the right place if this is for you, and that's what we do in each podcast. That's how I changed my life and my child and the future, and that's how I've helped thousands of women already in Barefoot Autism Warriors community. So welcome to this podcast. And let's get started. Self-sabotage is probably one of the most frustrating, irritating, mysterious, fascinating parts of the work that I do with moms who want to turn autism around or change their life in any way, shape, or form. We all self-sabotage. In fact, my teacher used to tell me that there are those who self-sabotage, and then there are those who are in denial about their self-sabotage. Curious thing here is that the more intelligent you are, the more sophisticated these self-sabotage patterns will be, and that's why it is so important to get to know yours, to identify them and learn to love them so that you can finally heal them instead of feeling like you cannot change. So whether it's about wanting to change your diet where you don't follow through, or you have experienced this wanting to quit sugar and you keep on falling off the wagon, or you want to go grounding or start to spend more time outdoors and then you do the opposite, it's almost like you can't trust yourself. That's what it feels like. The most crazy part of self-sabotage is when you're doing all the right things, you're doing all the diets, you're following protocols, and still you are seeing zero results, or not enough is changing in your child's symptoms or in your life or in your health. And those are actually the most interesting parts of our self-sabotage patterns, where it's so subtle, it's so subconscious, that we sabotage the protocol, the diet, without even noticing it in order to fail at them. And this is all very logical when you understand what this is all about. So I want to explain to you why this happened and why you should not feel bad about it at all. Quite the contrary. So why do we subconsciously and sometimes pretty consciously sabotage our own health, our own decisions to eat healthy food, exercise, healing, and even our children's turnaround process? Why do we do this? And why, this might sound crazy to you, why is self-sabotage necessary if you want to understand yourself, if you want to heal deeply, if you want to grow and heal on a really deep level? Why is self-sabotage such an important part of the turnaround process? Well, Before we dive into that, and I will teach you how to overcome self-sabotage, I just want you to know that you should never feel bad and you should never feel like a failure. Because this is not about you simply needing to put yourself together, pull yourself together, or be a better person, or be more consistent, or set better goals. Not even close. Why? So why am I saying this? Well, I'm actually claiming that you should continue to sabotage and self-sabotage the health journey, but do it with your eyes open. Do it to get to know yourself instead of taking yourself down. This is actually really, really important. In my course and in my membership, we have something called cake therapy, where we shift this whole concept of sabotaging your health, where we where you normally would feel guilty if you're eating chocolate or eating cake or falling off the wagon and not getting your exercise or not following a certain food protocol, where we are using these self-sabotage episodes and we celebrate them. That's why we call it cake therapy, because there are some crucial messages, some very sacred pieces of information in each self-sabotage episode that you need to understand in order to get the most from it. So self-sabotage happens for a reason, and if you know what your reason is, you can use the experience, no matter what it is, no matter if it's cakes, chocolate, not exercising, sabotaging your ideas of getting outside and doing the grounding, or whatever it is, you can use this experience, this self-sabotage experience, to get wiser and to finally heal. Instead of, which is something that we're really good at collecting, creating museums for all the reasons that we have to feel shame and guilt and failure in life. So let me give you an example of a way that self-sabotage patterns that I had and patterns that I've seen in clients over the past 15 years that exposes the layers in this phenomenon. So these are examples that will expose and teach you about the layers and the depths in this phenomenon called self-sabotage. Let's say you have an experience in childhood of pain, like your parents are getting a divorce, you're experiencing abuse in childhood. It might not even be something you remember at this point. So for me in my life, for years, I had been eating too much, drinking too much, gained a lot of weight, experienced a lot of inflammation and pain and actually dysfunctional relationships as well. And these situations in my life, this is something I've seen in many clients as well, these situations are really, really painful. Yet every time we decide to change our life, change our food, change our habits, get out of this dysfunctional relationship, we fall back into old habits. It's like we cannot make a decision and stick to it. And there's a reason for that. So the reason behind this strange behavior within us is that we are creating pain on the outside to distract ourselves from the pain on the inside. The original pain. And that original pain, we all have original pain. It does not have to be traumatic. It does not have to be anything big or significant or even anything that you can remember. But we all have original pain that we're running away from. And I'll talk a little bit about the different ways that we do this, run away from the pain that's waiting for us to address it and heal it. So we do create these painful experiences on the outside by eating too much, getting fat, accumulating cellulite and symptoms and pain in the body and feeling sluggish and not sleeping well and having constipation and feeling down and depressed and staying in dysfunctional relationships, because the pain on the inside, the original trauma, the original pain that's waiting for us to come and heal it, to revisit it, is still more scary and more painful than all the pain that we create on the outside. Too painful and scary to address and heal. What I'm teaching mothers in my community is that at some point, the original pain that has accumulated over the years, that pain from childhood, maybe trauma, parents divorced, you feeling rejected or not good enough or worthy enough because you couldn't keep your parents together. This is a subconscious conclusion that many of us make. At some point, that original pain from the accumulated pain over the years is less painful than the self-created pain of being overweight, of being constipated, of being in dysfunctional relationships, of sitting inside in the sofa, indoors, being passive, when actually the goal was to get outside and be active and reconnect with nature. And when the original pain becomes less scary and less painful than the pain that we have created on the outside, the self-sabotage patterns, the outer saboteur has done its job in order to point us towards the truth, which is there's something inside me that needs my attention, that needs my healing, that needs me to become the parent of that inner child that's still suffering and struggling and revisit it so that I can heal. So this is actually when you stop self-sabotaging. Not when you've seen enough therapists or pulled yourself together or exercised enough or found the perfect practitioner or the perfect diet. But when you feel strong enough, safe enough to address that original pain, to revisit and heal that original pain. And until you feel strong enough, supported enough, and safe enough to address that original pain, you will keep on self-sabotaging until you get there. And so it's like a tug of war between the two different types of pain, which one wins this war. And until you get equipped or conscious enough or aware enough of the original pain, the outer saboteur, the pain that we create on the outside tend to win in the long run. And this is why 90% of all attempts to make a lifestyle change does not end up well, because most people fail to address these self-sabotage patterns where the brain, the amygdala in the brain, will prevent you from experiencing, re-experiencing something uncomfortable at any cost. And so the self-sabotage pattern will just return again and again and again until we have learned about ourselves what we need to learn through that self-sabotage pattern. This is why I never start with any form of lifestyle changes, changing the environment and looking into the intuitive eating and tuning into the biorhythms and bioclocks and sharing all my implementable steps to turn autism around that worked with me, until I know that everyone that comes to me understands their unique self-sabotage patterns. It is so important, so important, because these patterns tend to dress up and return again and again and knock on our door in different outfits and different formats and different variants. So some phases of your life, it might be sugar addiction. In other phases of your life, it might be that your autism turnaround process just does not work. Then if that's still not enough pain to be telling you with a voice so loud and clear that you need to address your internal pain that's waiting for you, if that's not clear enough, if not painful enough, it will return again and it will just find new ways of addressing you and getting your attention. So this is why it's so important. Let me give you another example. So sugar, my sugar addiction and self-sabotage story is quite interesting in this context. I kept deciding to stop eating sugar, and I kept falling off that wagon as many times as I made that decision. And what does sugar represent? Well, sugar is the taste of the milk that we get from our mother when we are infants. Sugar is always used as well as a sedative in hospitals. So when children have pain, in the old days at least, I'm not sure you do that anymore, you would give sugar water because it's a sedative, it numbs out pain. That's why we often use candy to distract kids and to make them feel happy again if they're sad. Not a good strategy, I might add, but that's what it represents. So it represents something to comfort me, something to numb out pain, something to numb me out, something that can work as a sedative, something that takes away pain from me. And I noticed a pattern in my relationship with sugar. Every time I had sugar cravings, and I looked back at the week that had passed, I had been abandoning myself or hurting myself in some shape or form. And this is something I see in my clients and in mothers who come to me to turn autism around again and again. So, for example, if I looked back at the week or the days leading up to my sugar craving and me eating sugar in large quantities, I hadn't been eating real food enough, I hadn't been drinking enough water, or I might have said yes to a lot of things that I actually didn't want to do. I had often stayed up late or let people step over my boundaries, abandoning myself and not respecting myself. And that is extremely painful when we sell out, and I know this sounds a bit awful, but when we prostitute our soul and our inner children in order to please others, instead of nurturing ourselves, going to bed, saying no, stepping up for ourselves and being good parents to ourselves. And that pain of abandoning ourselves can lead to self-sabotage. It did for me, it does for so many people that come to me. So I realized that every time I ate sugar, it was because I was trying to numb out the pain of having abandoned myself, of having been unkind to myself and a bad parent to myself in the week or the days leading up to that self-sabotage pattern. This is really important to understand about your specific triggers. For me, it was really important to understand that it's painful to my inner child when I abandon me. The pain of leaving myself, for me, that was a reminder of when I was left by my mom and I was left to myself. I was kicked out from home. My mom did not protect me. And that pain of re-experiencing rejection and bad parenting was so painful that I had to numb out the pain by eating sugar instead. And that was a really, really important piece of investigation that I needed to do for me. And this is tools that I teach in my membership and in my mindset course, by the way. Another example is childhood experiences. Let's say that you have experienced childhood abuse or even experienced your parents' divorce. Just as you were getting beautiful and growing into adulthood and you were getting attention from men maybe or people and you felt beautiful, and while you were feeling beautiful and optimized and healthy and youthful, at the same time something traumatic happened. your parents got divorced, or you experienced abuse, someone stepped over your boundaries, or you got kicked out from home. Something very similar happened to me. So I subconsciously, my system linked being beautiful, being healthy, being youthful with pain, losing my mom, losing safety, and losing love, because it was the same time where I experienced abuse from someone close to the family and no protection from my mom, and actually being kicked out as a consequence of this distance that was between me and my mom. My parents divorced. I had an abusive grandfather. My stepfather was verbally abusive and just extremely evil towards me. And it ended up with a situation where I was kicked out of the house. So later in life, I noticed that every time I reached a certain level of balance and beauty and weight loss that was similar to the way that I looked back then, I made myself eat again. And I almost like made myself ugly or cut my hair or something to avoid that subconscious link and link between beauty and the danger of losing everything. Losing safety, losing my mom, losing love. You have these subconscious links that are really, really hard to understand unless you know how to investigate them and what to look for and how to heal them, how to approach them, how to reparent yourself through that. So here's one of the most frustrating things about self-sabotage. The more intelligent you are, the more sophisticated these self-sabotage patterns will be. So it will look like, well, I don't have time to change our lifestyle. I don't have time to do a turnaround. I don't have time to do grounding with my child. I don't have the money, and it can even be like, I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing the diets. I'm doing protocols, and nothing works. So the more intelligent you are, the more intelligent your self-sabotage pattern will be. Subconsciously, this pattern can make you do things to sabotage the diet so that you change something right before you're going to see results. Right before the breakthrough, right? You change practitioner, or you go from one diet to the next, or you keep on looking for new protocols instead of waiting for it to actually take effect, and you won't even notice it. So here are some of the most common examples that I see all the time in these hidden self-sabotage patterns from very super hyper intelligent mamas out there. So typically someone would take a course or a self-help procedure or go through the autism turnaround protocol with the intention of failing, not consciously. So you won't notice it. Remember, this is sophisticated. This is highly intelligent patterns that you won't notice. But something will come up that looks like a coincidence that makes it look like, okay, this course is not for me either. Because that gives you a feeling of success, a feeling of power, in a life where you subconsciously have felt very powerless earlier. And the victory of also going through this process and that not working for you and you sabotaging that process subconsciously and proving to me that I couldn't help you either, that is a very sophisticated self-sabotage mechanism. And it's something that we can actually turn around as well. Other examples are the therapy assassin. So that example. The therapy assassin or the course assassin is somebody who's feeling powerful by proving that this didn't help either. The course surfer is someone who jumps from protocol to protocol, from book to book, from therapy to therapy, from healer to healer, so that they never fully take effect of any of these interventions so that they make sure that it doesn't work. And it will look like, hey, I'm trying everything. All these healers, they don't know what they're doing, so I've got to try one more and another one and another one. And in fact, it is a very sophisticated way of making sure that none of it works, because you're jumping to the next one right before the previous one actually had a chance of working for you. Other examples, the chaos creator. The chaos creator creates helplessness and overwhelm, and by doing that, they regain some sort of control over the situation. So they tend to be always late, they feel helpless, they feel overwhelmed, they multitask, they ask a lot of questions. And this helplessness is a way of escaping from the work, escaping from the healing process, escaping from the original pain that is waiting for you to address it. So many of the moms that go into the autism turnaround process to try and heal their children, they actually experience that they can't do it until they've addressed their self-sabotage patterns, because the inner saboteur will do everything in its power to avoid change. To avoid change, because when we heal, when we change, we have to face and address that original pain within us. Because it's almost like going through life with a toddler by the steering wheel, a toddler who wants its way and it wants to control things, and it can never get you to deep healing. And you can never lead your child through a healing process until that desperate, wounded child within you has had its healing and its parenting from you. And that's what self-sabotage patterns are all about. Other examples of hyper-intelligent, sophisticated self-sabotage patterns is the Q&A addict, someone who asks questions endlessly, and instead of listening to and implementing the answers, they just keep on asking questions. They will join my course. I'll have all the PDFs, all the audios, all the teachings, and the Q&As. They will not read the books. They will not listen to the audios. They won't do the exercises. They'll show up for the Q&As and they will ask 10 questions, and they will not listen to my answer or do any of the things that I ask them to do in order to heal. They will just ask new questions instead. That is a very sophisticated way of sabotaging the turnaround process. The procrastinator is another interesting one. No follow through, because if we procrastinate, we never get there. And then the project creator is a real fun one, where right before you're next to a breakthrough, right before your child starts changing, right before things are really going to improve, you will distract yourself. So, for example, in my healing process, in the membership, or in my mindset course, when I start to teach you how to remove all the layers of self-protection that you've protected yourself with all of your life, when you start removing all the things that's not you, when you start removing the things that are taking you away from the healing process, all of a sudden you feel the pain from the past. You feel the original pain. And so the sophisticated self-sabotage pattern will feel these feelings and realize, okay, I've got some serious healing work here waiting for me. I cannot deal with it. I cannot sit with these feelings. So they will come up with a project to take them away from the healing process, to keep them occupied so that they don't have to heal at the moment. It could be anything from feeling like I need a divorce, getting into an affair, getting a pet, a building project, wanting a new baby. So healing this one child is then just totally destroyed. That process is totally destroyed by another project that will take all of your attention, all of your time, all of your days, all of your nights, so that you don't have to deal with the original pain that's waiting for you. And that's actually sabotaging every single attempt to heal your child or yourself. Does it make sense? So We can do crazy stuff to run away from ourselves for life. And why is it that we do this? I want to just give you a little extra explanation for this before we draw the conclusion and start the healing process. So we do this because negative attention, aka giving ourselves the pain on the outside, is better than no attention. Why is negative attention better than no attention? Because humans in the wild will die without attention. In the wild, if we don't get attention from our parents, if they don't pick us up and include us in the tribe, we will die and be eaten by wild animals. So it's a biological response that we know we need attention. Whether it's negative or positive attention, we need to get our parents' attention, in this case, our own inner parent, in order to survive. So we create pain to give ourselves that attention. And that pain can be weight gain, it can be disease, dysfunctional relationships, it can be procrastinating the turnaround journey, it can be not changing the diet when we know that we need to. And that pain that we create by doing that creates shame and guilt. And shame and guilt are very intense feelings that gives us attention. When we feel shameful, when we feel guilty, we give ourselves attention. So we bask in the shame and we shower ourselves with the guilt, and that is how we stay alive. In fact, some people say that people who don't self-sabotage, people who don't know how to give themselves negative attention, are the ones that end up so desperate that they can take their own lives, because this is a survival skill. Self-sabotage is a survival skill. So, in conclusion, you are not weak. You are not a failure. You are a survivor. Self-sabotage is a mechanism that makes you stay alive. And when you understand this, when you honor your self-sabotage patterns and you get to know yourself better through them, that is when you heal. So you need self-sabotage patterns. That's conclusion number three. You need self-sabotage patterns to point you towards unhealed trauma that is standing in your way of change. And it is waiting for you to address it. So self-sabotage is a really important pattern for you to find your unhealed trauma, understand the unhealed trauma. It would hide from you forever if you did not self-sabotage. So please honor your self-sabotage patterns and stop feeling guilty about them. Number four, the more intelligent you are, the more sophisticated your self-sabotage patterns will be. So understand this. When you feel frustrated and you feel that nothing is working and you've tried everything, just honor your intelligence. You are so sophisticated that it actually looks like you can't do this, that it's the money that's preventing you, or the lack of time, or other people preventing you from seeing results, or it's the practitioners, or it's the diet. Something's just not right on the outside. No, you're just too wise for this. You are so brilliant and so intelligent that it's really hard to trick your brain into changing this. Conclusion number five, self-sabotage will come back and block change, block the healing, block the autism turnaround process until you have understood your original trauma and pain, and until you have learned how to heal your self-sabotage patterns. I have a method where I teach you the foundation to get strong enough to revisit that trauma, the brain primer exercises to trick the brain, the amygdala in the brain, to not go into survival and have the courage to actually re-experience something uncomfortable, because nothing will be healed without the bravery and the courage to re-experience something uncomfortable, so that you won't keep on running away from the healing process for the rest of your life. This is what I teach with the cake therapy. This is what I teach when I teach you what your personal escape mechanisms are and what your personal self-sabotage patterns are and how to heal them. So I just want you to, with all this knowledge, as you sit here and look back on the many times where you feel that you have failed, or you haven't complied, or you've not been strong enough, or you haven't felt successful because you've been falling off the wagon or done the opposite of what you wanted to do, I want you to honor that. It's a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of sophisticated survival skills. And it's a sign that there's something waiting for you to be healed. Something from your past, something from your inner saboteur, from your inner child trying to get your attention, so that you can finally find peace, heal yourself, instead of putting up all these stories and barriers and patterns to escape from that pattern, that pain within you that is waiting for you to heal, so that you can heal everyone in your life. And you have to heal that self-sabotage pattern in order to be able to heal your child. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, the biggest favor you could do me is to subscribe to my podcast and rate it. And the more stars you give me, the more this podcast will be seen by other autism mamas and women out there who need healing, support, and community. This is the only way I can spread my message, because I'm not someone big or rich, but your rating and your subscription and your comment in iTunes, for example, will help get this message out. If you want to work with me, go to barefootautismwarriors.com and download my free ebook and on-demand video training. Sign up for my newsletter that way. Look at my free resources and my mindset course, which is also the only way that you can get accepted into my membership afterwards, where I'm coaching people and where I have this community where I take you through the five phases and the five underlying messages behind any symptom, so that you can find peace and heal yourself and turn your child around. Thank you.